Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you for downloading or streaming this episode of Band Biographies. You can find more episodes at bandbiographies.com. That's B-A-N-N-E-D biographies.com. If you enjoy it, why not leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or whatever service you use to listen to your podcasts? Apparently, it helps get the show up the charts so more people can see it, to download it, and then to leave further 5-star reviews. Another way you can help is by telling as many friends as possible to give it a download. Please do reach out on Twitter at BandBiogs, on Instagram at BandBiographies, search on Facebook for BandBiographies, or by emailing bandbiographies@gmail.com. But most of all, enjoy. Hello, and welcome to this very special interview episode of the Band Biographies podcast, part of the Pantheon network of music-based podcasts. A massive thank you to those guys for including me among their roster. On this episode, I'm both the host and one of the three interviewees as I chat with Anthony Collett and Martin Corky Cork, my cohorts in the band High Frequency. The reason for this massively indulgent episode is because we have a 3-track EP called Some Songs You May Have Heard, But Not Like This, which should be out right now on all streaming platforms. The songs included on the EP are re-recorded versions of songs that were incompletely recorded from our distant past, and one song that's not ours and never made it onto any previous album or EP. The other thing that they have in common is, as you may be able to tell from the EP's title, that we've continued to play them in our live set even all these years later. As well as covering the EP, we also give a potted history of the band, warts and all, in what I think is a humorous and engaging tale. I hope that you can forgive the rampant self-promotion here. I promise I won't make a habit of this kind of thing. Until the next release anyway, which should be coming out at the end of this year. I'd love it if you could find High Frequency on whatever streaming service you use to listen to your music and add the songs, and maybe even some of the old ones, to your public playlists. Makes us easier to find that way. In the same way that a 5-star rating and especially a review for this podcast makes this podcast more visible on things like Apple Podcasts. You can find all the links to our socials in the show notes, as well as a link to the various platforms you can find our music on. But without further ado, I present to you my chat with the amazing High Frequency. Ant and Corky, welcome to Band Biographies. How weird is that?
It's a little bit odd, isn't it? Yeah. How weird is it for you, though, doing an episode on yourself?
Yeah. Well, this is it, isn't it? I've got to be host and also participant, which is...
I've got to step back and not be host because I'm not used to this.
Yeah. Ant used to co-host a podcast with me called Anywhere But Here, which is still out there on the internet somewhere. We haven't done it in a while. We might still do it at some point, who knows. So this today is more about us as a band,
which is
different. So yeah, kind of the way that I like to start these things off is a couple of kind of quick getting to know you questions. Mm-hmm. So if we kind of go around the room and just start with, I guess, can you remember a song that was like you heard it and you were like, oh, I understand how that works and I want to be able to do that?
I don't really remember a specific song. The first sort of memory I have of hearing, I guess, an album and going, oh, I like this. I want to be able to do something like that. And it's weird because originally I wanted to be a drummer.
You can if parents, you
want. Yeah. My parents were like, no, too loud. So they brought me an electric drum kit. Now, this was way back and it was like a kid's intro electric drum kit. So it was like, it was a Yamaha. The little drum module was like a neon green drum module with like buttons, clicky buttons on top. But the pads were like solid plastic. They weren't like rubber. They weren't mesh heads. They were like solid plastic. So even with headphones on, just hitting those, you couldn't hear the drums. All you could hear was you hitting plastic. That didn't last long. But it would have been growing up, like it would have been things like Bon Jovi. I think the first album like really was These Days, the album These Days, just especially the song These Days. And I believe Dry County was on that album as well. It was, yeah, fantastic. It's just hearing Richie Sambora, what he could do with the guitar was just like, yeah, it was just at that age. I was probably sort of like the end of junior school, I think it was. Yeah, sort of year five, year six, I think it would have been. I think the album was 1995, so that's about right, actually. Yeah, so it was These Days, Bon Jovi, the album specifically, rather than just a single. Mm. But yeah.
What about you, Corky?
I remember being at, I never wanted to play an instrument. My sister played the clarinet. And we had an old guitar, so I ended up doing that. But I think the first one was when I was going to school and there was this guy met up with me at the bus stop and he said, oh, you like Star Wars, don't you? I went, no, Star Trek, but I do like Star Wars as well. Yep, okay. And he said, well, there's this really good song, you should listen to it. And it was A New Hope by Blink-182.
Yeah.
Off Dude Ranch.
Right.
So I had that one. And I think it wasn't until I went and watched The Faculty, and of course, yeah, The Offspring was, Kids Aren't All Right was on it. So I know everyone had heard about The Offspring, because obviously with Pretty Fly for White Gun, it wasn't until then I heard that one and realised it was a good music to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember someone lent me the clean version of Ex Nihilo Hombre. That was quite funny. And should we listen to it? I know, there is a clean version, there's a clean CD. Yeah. It was very weird.
Yeah, I remember those. My brother
got
like
thing,
a
thing, wasn't it? I just remembered that was a thing.
I think my brother had a clean version of Papa Roach's Infest.
Was that the quiet one? Was it?
Yeah, basically.
It's like just music.
Half,
no
of it's, half of it's muted. But yeah, so it was all around that kind of late 90s era, because I think mine was the first time I properly started listening to music and picking out individual instruments and how it all kind of seemed to go together was Blink-182 as well, because it was
I wonder if it is something to do with like being that we're all sort of close in age, and I think it's just that age, isn't it, sort of like just hitting, getting into secondary school where you're sort of discovering yourself, so you sort of find your musical style that you like. So
yeah. Well, something, I mean, you were saying about getting into Bon Jovi at around about what, year five or year six, kind of end of primary school. And that's kind of the time when I was introduced to stuff like Queen and Bon Jovi and those kind of classic metal, classic rock acts, I suppose.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's, like you say, it's kind of like prime time between about 11 and 14 of trying to find your tribe.
I think mine, though, was it was just classic rock. It was all the 50s and 60s stuff. I remember driving around Dartmoor in a Land Rover, listening to Rawhide, and my dad's friends in the window singing it, you know, which is like why I like Me First and Gimme Gimme, because it gives all those old songs a new twist.
Yeah, because that's it. I mean, were either of your parents particularly musical? Because mine weren't. Like,
my auntie is.
Mine were into like the chart music and stuff. Like, my dad would record the chart show every week and we'd have those tapes stacked up. But it was
playing pause for the
year. Yeah, exactly that. But really, yeah, like my folks didn't really have much in the way of a proper musical taste, shall we say.
I mean, mine, they weren't musical in the sense, I mean, my dad played French horn at school and he would, you know, not very musical though. Like he didn't really play anything else, but he has an understanding of music. I know when I sort of got my first guitar, he would sit and play and figure out melodies of songs and stuff. So I think he's got that ability. But none of them really played instruments. But I know, like, growing up, I mean, I've got my dad's old vinyl collection, but you'd be going through it and you'd be like, oh, cool, it's like Kiss and Rush, and you've got some, you know, that sort of thing. But then you've got, oh, Kate Bush. And like, and you've got like Jive Bunny and things like, you know, the Jive Bunny albums. And, you know, my mum's, it was kind of like, oh, Bay City Rollers, the Osmonds, oh, Sex Pistols. Do you know what I mean? Like, they sort of that era where they've got those classicals. I think it's like they Who Killed Bambi, they got as well, Never Mind the Bollocks. But yeah, so like they have that sort of like musical taste, and like the Iron Maiden and stuff like that. This is a really interesting sort of collection. I know a lot of the singles, the 45s my dad had were, my granddad was, he used to go to around to pubs and fill up vending machines and stuff like that, but he also used to change the records in the jukeboxes.
Right.
So we've got a lot of the 45s with the, you know, the giant hole in the middle. So you need to use that adapter that everyone was like, what the hell is that for? We had lots of records where we needed that. You know, so there's a huge range of different albums we've got, like Run to the Hills, like the original single we've got. And yeah, it's just, I think, yeah, I had a lot of influence from a lot of, and I think that influences my musical taste now as well, because I've got a broad range of music, which I'm sure if we'll get onto if we've got any other questions.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Corky, you were saying that obviously your uncle, was he played music, right?
Auntie.
Sorry.
She does. She plays the clarinet. She was in a, she was in the some orchestra. I don't actually know. Could have really asked her, shouldn't I? Yeah, she was the one that obviously, she's the musical one.
Okay. And so, like you're saying, you kind of find your tribe at a certain point, and you occasionally make some mistakes. So what was the first kind of single or album you bought with your own money? Not one that was bought for you, but you went to a store yourself and bought. Corky
hung his head in,
hung his head in
shame, or is he looking for something?
I'm looking, it's here. It's here somewhere. It might be in the cupboard. I know exactly which one it was. First album I've got that I bought with my own money was Space and Beyond, which is a compilation of sci-fi soundtracks.
Wow. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. Way better than my answer.
It's like three of them. I got three of them all together, but only one of them is on Spotify, which I'm very devastated about. But yeah.
This is the thing about having physical media though, isn't it? You own it. You've got it.
Do you know the weird thing is saying it's on Spotify? There was an album, I think it's the Aerosmith, their greatest hits, which I got the CD. It wasn't my first CD. I've gone on a tangent now. But it's based on the physical media versus the Spotify. Their greatest hits, I've got the CD, and it was called Oh Yeah. It's Aerosmith's greatest hits. On Spotify, it's got a different name, but it's the same album. It's really weird. I don't know why they changed the name of it. So I was just wondering if those Space and Beyond, if they've got different names on Spotify.
I've checked it.
But there might be a playlist. You might find a playlist of it somewhere.
There's some better playlists, to be honest with you. I think that one was brilliant because it just had all the Star Trek stuff in. On
I was going to say, is it like, is it just the themes?
Some of it is.
Yeah.
So it's like TV show stuff as well as films. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I don't remember my first album that I brought for myself. I remember the first album that was brought for me, which was the Smurfs Go Pop.
Yes. I had that on cassette.
Yeah, I had the cassette. That was the first album that was my own, but it was brought for me. I remember the first proper album that was brought for me that I'm happy to say was Performance of Cocktails by Stereophonics. I can't remember the first one I brought myself. It was probably like a first pay packet I got, so I went out and brought like a few. But I remember the first single I brought for myself, and this is where the broad range of music come in. It was Mary Mary Shackles, which is like gospel R&B, isn't it?
Shackles, that's class.
Brackets, Praise You.
Yeah.
Incredible song.
Yeah.
But my wife finds it hilarious. That's the first single I brought, but I love it. Like, I mean, gospel music, fucking awesome anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like that sort of R&B music is great. So gospel R&B, top.
Mm.
Great song.
I didn't actually buy it for myself, but the first single I ever bought actually wasn't for me.
Right.
Okay.
I got shipped out to go and buy Aka Bilk Stranger on the Store, Stranger on the Shore.
Okay.
On vinyl. On single vinyls.
I don't even know what any of those words meant.
Yeah.
Aka Bilk. Wow. Aka Bilk, okay.
Stranger on the Shore. That's something we should do. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's all yours, mate. Yeah.
Idea for a cover.
I don't know what it is, mate.
Right, yeah. I mean, mine was Bare Naked Ladies 1 week on cassette, which is not bad, I don't think, yeah, personally.
Unironically, great song. Good sing-along sort of. Well, yeah.
I think they got better songs. I think listening to that single opened up my eyes to the rest of their catalogue, and they got some wicked songs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Gordon as a whole, like that whole Gordon album, I love. But yeah, they continue to make great music as well, including like albums of like kids' music too.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, they've got like not covers. They actually have written music for kids. So I can't remember what the album's called, but it's good stuff.
There's Bare Naked Ladies. That's one of those back. Like, I knew that song. Everyone knew that song, I think, but. Chicken of China, the Chinese chicken. Yeah. But it was one of those things. I didn't ever look into them, but I remember there was a friend growing up who was massively, they were one of his favorite bands. So I went around to his house and he was listening to them. And I was like, oh, they've got like actually really, really good songs. Do you know what I mean?
They're not just a one hit wonder.
Yeah. Like all of their songs are really good, like sort of sing along sort of. Just fun to have fun
as a bassist as well. Their bass player is absolutely phenomenal. Some of his bass lines are absolutely brilliant.
What do you mean? Tom's our bassist.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. My bad.
You're a drummer.
We'll get on to that.
It's not part of the rhythm section, but you know.
So, yeah, I mean, we should go into the kind of history, I guess.
Yeah,
because you guys knew each other before you met me. So, how long had you guys been friends? Because you didn't go to the same school, did you?
No, we went to the same college. And
that's not how we
went to the same party,
right?
But Ant didn't know it was me.
Yeah. So the first time we met, I don't remember meeting you. You saying
no, because I was the one that was hanging the doll out the window.
I remember that.
Yes, that was me.
Oh, that was you. Oh, okay.
That was me.
That was terrifying. I'm going to be honest with you, mate, because I was possibly a little bit inebriated.
I wasn't.
Two substances. But that was weird. Babel. I just remember, I think, was it John? Just John. Was it just John going, there's a baby hanging out? Like, it was just, weird. No, I didn't realize that was you. I didn't know you were at that party. But yeah, I mean, generally, that's how we met, was through a mutual friend, Ginger Allen. I guess you were at his party. I don't know how you ended up there, but I think the first time we actually met and spoke was probably down at the pub, wasn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, because I don't know if I know the whole story. This is the thing. I get confused as to where I kind of come in to the whole thing. But I'm sure we'll get there.
Yeah. In all honesty, it's like I know the sort of time me and Corky met. I know sort of like some of the parts of how we met, but I don't actually remember the moment we met and was like...
No, yeah. I don't either. I don't actually remember the exact moment.
I suppose if it was that whole group of people that used to meet up in school, in town after school, then it was kind of one of those things where you just naturally kind of gravitate into a circle of friends and you kind of get introduced into it. And then after a while, you're comfortable enough with everyone in there that you see them elsewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's weird. So it's like I knew like how I ended up at those parties, I suppose, was there was a group. It's so weird. Like there was just this whole sequence of events. Like one of my cousins sort of knew, went to school with this group who were having the parties, but that's not why I ended up at those parties. Do you know what I mean? Like it was one of my old neighbors.
Right.
One of my friends who still hung around with this person who also went to school with them. We started hanging around. We ended up in Brenchley Gardens, which is the bandstand where you go drinking underage, getting our drinks from the off license up. That we used to call Smithies, like, and then we ended up saying, oh, this guy's having a party, do you want to cut? So then we went to these parties, and then at some point Corky ended up at those parties. I don't know how, but then it wasn't until we were sort of like 17 or 18 when we started going to the pub that I actually met Corky and started hanging around with him, like, you know. And then it was sort of like, hey, yeah, my friend's got this garage. We're going to go and jam. You play the guitar. Do you want to come along and jam with us? Like, and that was Stuart, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just sort of like this weird sort of like thing where we started jamming together. I was like, hey, this is cool. Maybe we should start getting a band together and find a singer. And Corky was like, hey, I met this guy at Reading. He was really cool. He's into the same music. I'll give him a call. Like, do you know what I mean? It was this, and I was supposed to be at that Reading festival as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
As well.
That was 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I went with a group of my friends, and then they were also camping with people, including Corky and Stuart, I think.
Yes, yes.
I can't remember who I went with. I went with like Chris Cass and
yeah, because I remember that time I met you was that, obviously, remember you had that issue.
Yeah,
First night, wasn't it? Yes.
First night, I had my phone died. My phone battery died, because this is the days when festivals didn't have phone chargers.
And emergency chargers weren't a thing.
Yeah, yeah. And my girlfriend at the time was messaging me nonstop, because she was supposed to meet me on the Sunday, but was like desperately kind of trying to keep in touch. And I was like, look, I've got a conserved battery, because it's got to last until you get here on Sunday. And then, yeah, I went to sleep the first night and then woke up the next morning and my wallet had been stolen. And so had my phone, maybe.
Yes, it was your phone as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember, we had a prime suspect. We won't talk about
We did, yeah, absolutely.
I still maintain it was that person.
Over the years, I think back to it, and I'm like, it couldn't have been anyone else. It couldn't have been anyone else. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But, you know, we'll keep that name under wraps. but no, it was a great weekend.
Little did they know the battery was dead anyway, so fuck
yeah,
them.
Exactly. So, but we had a great weekend anyway. Like, after that point, it was just like, well, I've got fuck all money and I don't have a phone. I have no idea how I'm meeting my girlfriend, but I'm at Reading Festival. Like, you just got to let it go, haven't you?
And but they wouldn't give us a stretcher, though, would they?
No. Yeah, there were some interesting things that went on. There was the less than solid. Some weed laced with glue that we tried to smoke, which obviously didn't work. And
the atomic wedgie tent.
Stuart, yeah. And we had to go and get a stretcher, didn't we, Corky?
No, we asked for a stretcher. They said, no, you can't have one. And they sent some paramedics over. Mm. What we were going to do was get the stretcher, go and buy the beer.
That's right.
Put him on there. No, priorities first.
Well, that's the thing, because Reading Festival, I don't know if it's like it now. I mean, it's not Reading Rock Festival anymore anyway, is it? I think Download's become what Reading used to be.
Yeah.
Whereas Download used to be the Monsters of Rock, which was like all the heavy metal back. Like, it's sort of. But yeah, Reading Festival. I don't know if it's the same, but like the first year I went, 2004, is when you go outside the campsites and everything, walk down the road, and there's like just big, like Arctic lorry trailers just parked up on the side, just full of beer.
Flogging beer.
Yeah, like it was crazy. Just
because I think I remember that. Because the first thing that happened when I turned up at that festival was me and my mate Cass. We'd paid in advance for chilled beer. Like, there was a specific trailer there that you went to and you'd booked, like, and it cost an extra 10 quid or something like that.
But it was cold.
You know, on a really hot weekend, it was really fucking stupid.
Other thing as well, it's like a really cold beer, it's chilled beer. You've got no way to keep it cold.
No, exactly.
It was 24, 48 cans or something, and you paid a tenner for that.
Exactly. Right. But we turned up to the campsite, started putting our tents up, and we were like, we've got cold beer. And I do believe it was Corky was the first on the scene. Cold beer, what?
that was true, actually. Yes, that was it. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, have you? Yes. Okay.
And that was the first time we'd ever met.
Yeah. Was that the same year of Mary?
Yes.
Mary. Yes.
Oh, Mary. The drunken guy with the bag of wine.
Who liked the Crystal Maze.
Crystal Maze.
Oh God!
Some of these things have like ended up in legend, haven't they? Like, you know,
I've ever heard that story before.
Oh, you like?
I must have heard it at some point.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. Like,
I'll tell the story then.
What was it? He turned up like really, really early in the morning.
That wasn't. It wasn't.
Was he not in the dark?
No, what happened was we'd gone off looking for ladies. And I got bored and went back to the tent. You went back to try and find these ladies that we found. And that's where you met Mary.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Because he offered you.
Did he offer me oral sex?
No, it was anal fisting.
Anal fisting. That's it. Yeah.
Did you turn him down?
I politely declined.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Even if I wanted to, mate. Yeah.
So you meet some strange people at these things.
Yeah. But sometimes you meet someone who becomes friends.
Exactly.
Lifelong friends.
Yeah, precisely. So we'd sat down at various points during the weekend and talked about the kind of music that we liked. And you mentioned that you were putting a band together or were in a band and you were looking for a singer. And I was like, well, I've got no musical talent, but I don't mind.
Give it a go.
You know, singing is something I enjoy doing. So, and it was from there. And then when we got back into civilian life again, because as we all know, festivals are another dimension where nothing's real.
Yeah, festivals, it's like that whole thing you agree to. It's like when you leave a job and you agree to stay in touch. That's a festival, isn't it?
yeah, exactly. You know? That. But yeah, so we got back and then I met you guys in the back of Earl's, didn't I? The pub.
Well, yeah, that's where we took you. I was sitting actually talking about it, remembering, like, and you saying about your phone getting stolen. And this is possibly why as well, like, because I remember Corky saying, oh, I met this guy at Reading who said he would sing for us. And I think we actually came to find you at work rather than giving you a call because you didn't have a phone.
Yeah,
we came
right.
and found you at work.
Yeah.
At a large department store. Which
That I ended up working at as well.
But weirdly, I already knew you, Anne, as well, kind of, because
see me. You knew my other half at the time.
Yeah.
Because she worked there in one of the departments.
But you would come in at the end of her shifts and, you know, meet her and go.
Work, yeah.
And, yeah. So, like, we knew each other to kind of do the nods to.
Yeah,
right?
That's what.
the man nod.
The backwards nod. You tilt your head.
All right.
Yeah. So this is the weird thing. I mean, Maidstone's not a huge town anyway.
No.
And we're sort of similar ages with similar friend groups. So it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like my wife now, when I went to college, she was at college as well. And she screamed at me and my group of friends because one of us got a new phone and was playing with the new ringtones and it was pissing her off. So she shouted at us to shut the fuck up. I ended up marrying that woman. Like, you know what I mean? So I'd kind of met her before as well. And I met her because she was going out with one of my friends before me. So it's
one of those friend groups.
Keep it in the family.
But so how long had you guys been playing before that then?
Probably a couple of months.
Yeah, not long.
Haven't been long.
Mm.
Do you mean like as a group or playing instruments?
Yeah,
yeah. Just a couple of months. That was literally... Yeah, and we didn't like have a drummer because I think when you first joined us, was Matt drumming?
I'd met anyone else.
So I'm trying to remember like before Matt was drumming for us, because Adam did something with us for a little while, didn't he?
Yeah,
Adam
but he McKinley.
Was he trying to, was he singing as?
I think he tried out a couple of people on vocals, right?
Yeah, and it wasn't like this whole... Like, I was watching a YouTube video the other day of, like, when Dream Theater had to find a new drummer. It's, you know, we weren't bringing in, like, well-known people. Like, we were just like, hey, do you want to try... Like, you know what I mean? Like, we weren't bringing in these world-class singers trying out for us and going, now we have this guy here.
It's like, whoever wants to do it and can vaguely...
Same with trying out. It's like, we're not great musicians. Like, it wasn't a sought-after fucking role that someone had to take up. You know, people weren't queuing.
I kind of came back with you guys to Earl's. Was it that evening you came and like picked me up after work, basically? That day and then came back after that shift, I think. And we all went back to Earl's where you had stuff set up in the kind of back, like a shed, wasn't it? Almost?
Yeah, it was back then, yeah.
It was like a storage room, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we played some Blink-182 songs.
Unsurprisingly.
Yeah. Was it around about the time of Boxcar Racer as well?
Possibly.
Yes, it was. Happened in 2003.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just sort of like what we were enjoying at the time, what we'd practiced together. You know, we didn't have like a huge repertoire. It's just like, well, what do you know? What do we know?
Yeah.
Let's give it a go. And, you know, I would imagine going back, like if we'd have recorded it going back, it would have been scrappy as fuck and sounded awful.
You joke about that, but I actually do have, and I'm just trying to find it on one of my memory sticks, what? Actually, that gig on my 21st birthday.
Oh, my God, really?
Which gig was that?
Actually have it somewhere.
Where was that?
That was at a scout hut or something, wasn't it? Village hall.
Yeah.
Because we played at a scout hut or something twice, hadn't we? We'd done something with your Corky's college mates.
Yes.
I think at a scout hut as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. We have a recording of us back then. I would rather not hear it.
Terrifying.
Are you sure? I'm looking for it now.
Brilliant.
But, to be honest, I don't think it was long before we started getting gigs, though, was it? Because, like, we played Katie's birthday. That was the first time. Gig, wasn't it? Like, so we'd practiced for quite a while, right, in Matt's basement.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month. So just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the US.
Yes.
Yes.
Which was the HQ for a long time.
Yeah.
A few months.
That's where we came. We had like a huge scrapbook, which was our, like the first page was the rules, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The laws.
Yeah.
We need to update them.
I need to get that down from the loft. It's up in my loft.
I think wasn't the first rule was pot noodles must always be considered a delicacy.
They still are.
So the only one I remember.
They got korma ones now. It's absolutely lovely. And there's a sausage casserole one, which is
Oh my gosh.
Because Corky's at the time was the Bombay bad boy.
Yeah.
What were they called? The pot noodle XL. What were they called? The big.
I don't know. I can't remember.
No.
I can't remember. But they were the giant ones, weren't they?
Yeah.
That was Matt. And Matt, who wasn't a drummer, who'd never played drums, but was like, hey, I'll play drums.
But could learn it within like
learned it so quick. Anything. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, he was a keyboardist in the main, wasn't he?
Yeah. That was his instrument. He grew up learning piano. So Matt is someone I knew from school. I went to the primary school, so I knew him since we were like 4 or 5. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like we were friends for years. And he was just this musical genius. Like, he played piano.
He still is.
But, you know, the problem with genius, he did have his difficulties, as a lot of people do. And it was him. So our first EP, the Face the Music EP, it was him that recorded it for us.
Yeah,
and mixed it and stuff, because he knew how to do that. He'd been making songs for years.
And like you say, continues to.
Yeah, and I would say he was probably one of, he's the main reason that I sort of took an interest in that side of making music and stuff as well, and recording, and we'll probably get onto that side of it later. I learned a huge amount from him. But the problem is, when you come back to our first, and the album cover, I love the fact that the album cover for that EP, the reason it looked the way it did was because my printer was running out of ink.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
But we liked the way it looked. So it was supposed to be just plain black, but my printer was running out of ink, so there was just white stripes all along. I was like, that looks cool. We'll leave that.
It kind of, like, that was like an ethos for the band as a whole, wasn't it? It was like, oh, unhappy, or happy accident, shall we say. Like, well, it's not how it was supposed to be, but actually...
wasn't one of our, I don't know if it was one of our written rules or if it was one of our unwritten rules, and I think it came from Corky, was that'll do.
Yeah.
It was our mantra, right. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, we ended up one of our EPs, take shortcuts albums. Wherever possible.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, so Matt was, like we say, he was the original drummer, well, synth player come drummer. and all of this is so... like so full circle, it's so funny. Throughout a band, but yeah, he unfortunately sort of suffered with he had his issues, and I think he still does to an extent. It's been a while since I've spoken to him, shamefully so. But yeah, we had like our first gig lined up, which was our friend's 21st. It was Kate and Colin.
That's right. It was a joint party, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Like a village hall, and
I think it was 18th or 16th, not 21st.
Yeah,
it wasn't the 21st at all, was it?
Not as old as us.
They're not as old as us.
I think possibly it was their 18th then. I don't think it would have been 16th.
No.
Anyway, but they, we started playing, but then we were going to play, and then Matt was just kind of like, I can't.
On the day of the gig as well, wasn't it?
We had all our equipment there. There was a guy there who was like, oh, I'll try. Like, yeah, just try and follow us, and it went all right, to be fair.
I think we went from like a 30-minute set to nearly an hour because we had to extend all the intros so that he could get a feel for the song.
But the funny thing is, a lot of them, some of the songs we played were originals that no one had ever heard,
and
true. He sort of had to pick it up.
They weren't as well as it could, were they? Yeah. And so, yeah. And then like that was it for a while. And then I guess Stuart came in on second guitar for a bit as well at one point.
Yeah.
Was that in the first incarnation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was, wasn't it? Because he was on the second EP, wasn't he? The I Love Coffee EP.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we better not discuss the person's name, because I think the person will get very upset seeing him in his professional businessman now.
Right.
Oh, what, the reason of the name of the...
Yes, we best not speak of his name, because he'll probably, if it ever got back to him, I don't think he'd be too happy about that. I haven't spoken to him in a very, very long time. We had a falling out, so...
Oh, right, okay. But yeah. that title came from the fact that this person walked a girl home after a night out, and she invited him in for coffee. And his response was,
I don't like coffee. And then we sat him down and said, when someone says that, they're not asking you for coffee, they're asking you for something else. He went, really? And yes. He went, oh, I love coffee. I love coffee. I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Yeah. So, as you may hear, so who was. So I'm trying to think, the guy who drummed for us at that surprise party sort of played Ollie. He played with us for a little while.
He played a couple of gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the guy on the second EP was a different drummer who was a friend of Tom's.
Yeah. He lived in my village and he was in my village.
The only drummer in the village.
Yeah. And he was in another band that were all right. They were kind of placebo-ish.
Yeah, he's a great drummer.
He was a really good drummer. Yeah, yeah. Stuck about for a bit as well.
Yeah.
And Yeah. And after like maybe 2 years, it all kind of fell apart and we all went our separate ways.
Yeah. I quite enjoy that when we talk about like falling apart, because it's something that we've learned upon. Oh, and yeah. We know. And to be honest, the reason it fell apart was for a certain person.
Outside influence,
a Yoko Ono, shall we say?
Yeah, yeah. I was a dickhead as well. Like,
she was the cause, really, and that was the thing. She was really bad. She was.
It's tricky because the drummer, he was a fantastic drummer, but I think he liked. I don't know if he's someone who liked a bit of drama. He found it fun, but not in the sense that he was trying to be an arsehole. He just found it funny.
Yeah.
So we sort of poke the bear with a stick sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think we were all a bit hot-headed. Like we were young,
dumb, full of cum.
Exactly. Yeah. saying like you were an arsehole. It's like you had a girlfriend too. When you do have a girlfriend at that time, like that's, well, my friends are being dicks. They just don't like her. Do you know? Fuck them.
But there were definite reasons for that.
Yes. Oh yes.
But yeah, she had an influence on it.
Yeah.
Sort of like to poke the bear a bit because it was funny.
I didn't just poke the bear.
And I thought that's what we're calling her. Sorry.
I might have to do a bit of judicial editing.
Yeah, we're getting sued for this shit.
So anyway, it's we've learned from our mistakes naming after, people in podcasts.
Like, I mean, yeah.
Bleep them all out. Bleep all the names
that's
out.
It. Yeah, so yeah, I'll go through that.
There was a lot of drama involved and we sort of did fell apart.
We did that typical male thing as well. Like, and I think it's typical of most bands I've ever been in as well, is that like when a problem arises, no one really faces it down.
No.
Everyone kind of just goes, oh, fine.
And then just let it fester under the surface. Yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it just goes, and like something will, you know, something major happens. And you're like, well, what if we'd have just talked about this? It would have been so much easier. Yeah. But equally, it's a sign of the times as well. This is like early 2000s. We were coming out of the 90s, which is all very laddie.
Mm.
And the general kind of culture was still quite laddie and quite like men don't talk about things and it's all bottled up, you know, in it. So, so that was that for a couple of years. Then we... What you and I, Corky, went off to uni, and you started a family.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm trying to remember. You guys went off to uni, so
Liz was pregnant when I went off to uni.
When you went to uni, Tom, you went to uni. First, it was only a year though, wasn't it?
I think so. I was there from 2005 to 2008.
Had we got over all that drama though? Because I know Liz and I came.
You came and visited me a couple of times. I think Liz was pregnant when she came.
She would have been because Liz got pregnant quite quickly.
Of course, she did. And you're so virile.
Yeah, no, like genuinely.
Yeah,
I think it's this year we'd have been together 17 years. Chloe turned 16 this year,
right?
So
make of that what you will, listener.
Yes, exactly. it's fine. Like now, when we say, "Oh yeah, Chloe's 16. Oh, how long have you been 17? Oh, Chloe's 6. Oh, fine. But back then it was kind of, "How old your daughter? 2. Oh, how long have you been together? 3 years." Mm. But back then people were like, "Wait, what?" You know what I mean? Like, but
these
things happen. So yeah, she was pregnant when we came to see you. She was pregnant still when you went off to uni, Corky, or we had Chloe by then.
No, I hadn't had her by then.
But yeah, so yeah, either way. You guys went off to uni, but I think we'd reconciled, but just not
back
together when you guys sort of like.
Yeah, because I think it was upon my return, or it must have been upon your return then, Corky.
Yeah,
I was still at uni because...
You were still at uni?
I was, because our first gig back together when I was playing drums, because obviously what happened was I was at uni and I was playing Guitar Hero and Rock Band on the drums and realized I could do it.
Well, this is it, isn't it? Like, I went away to uni and after the first term or two, I was like, I've got to find something to do to stop me from just going out all the time. So I used my student loan money to buy myself a bass and an amp. And was like, well, bass guitar, that can't be that difficult, can it? It's only one string and one note at a time for the most part, which is how I still play it now. So, yeah, I'd started playing bass while I was at uni. So you'd been playing Rock Band.
Yeah. Corky had been playing drums.
And the thing is, like if, you know, we went through what those three drummers in quite a short period of time. Mm-hmm. We also had Kev King on drums for a house party once too, if you remember.
Oh, yeah, yes. We did. Yeah, yeah.
So technically four.
Yeah, okay.
I forgot about him.
Yeah. And he's in a great band now, I think. If I remember rightly. I can't remember the name of them off the top of my head now, but you know. So we were like, right, well, when we're getting back together, like, fuck finding a drummer. Like, you play bass now. And Corky was like, well, I've been playing Rock Band drums and I reckon I can give it a go. Because again, like Matt, Corky is one of those guys who can just kind of just pick up an instrument as well and kind of like,
I know the theory behind it, but putting it into practice doesn't necessarily work.
No, I think we're all probably guilty of underselling ourselves a lot, but you do have great musicality. Like, you understand songs, you understand music and how it fits together and what sounds good. Like, and that's become evident in a lot of our writing more recently as well. As we'd be playing stuff and Corky, you'd go, wait, I've got something, give me instrument because I can play that one too. And then you'd do something and we'd go, okay, yeah, cool, I know that. But like, you do understand things and how it's what sounds great. So but yeah, it's just you have this ability to just pick stuff up. And I would imagine probably most musicians do, like, to a point, like, you sort of understand how it works. But there's certain musicians who can just get something and play it well. And just, do you know what I mean? Like, I could probably get by on other instruments, but I wouldn't say, yeah, I'm going to do that in this band now.
Why not? I mean, because we were practicing at your place above the tackle shop,
flat above the shop,
which it wasn't there anymore. It's a
no,
yeah, it's an off license. But I remember, because I remember the reason I know I was at uni when we were together was because our first gig I was really ill and I had to get from Winchester to Maidstone and I had ordered a hi-hat stand which Tom had to go and pick up for me.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I had to get the train and I got back just about in time to do it.
Because weren't you laid out at the back of Yates or Zebra Bar, whatever it was. You were like laid out on one of the sofas, weren't you? Okay. Cool.
Jesus. Yeah. But yeah, so was that, because I'm getting all my timelines now mixed up now, but was Stuart not playing guitar for us when you were drumming and you were playing bass?
He was,
towards the end, he was.
Yeah.
Because I know we've got, but there's videos that I think his dad took at the Battle of the Bands where Stuart was with us. And yeah, you're on drums and you're on, and Corky's on drum and Tom's on bass. And that was when we were practicing in your flat. How the hell did we practice as a four-piece in that flat?
With difficulty. There wasn't a lot of room, that's for sure. Because yeah, like the whole thing was like we were a five piece at one point before we broke up the first time, wasn't it? Because there were two guitarists, bass, drums, and myself on vocals. So we were a five piece making, you know, quite standard, you know, simple pop punk that probably didn't require that many people to be in a band. But and then we kind of got together over one Christmas as well, didn't we, in the back of the Style and Winch, and we had Byron on drums.
Oh my god,
for that one video of that video that we've got.
There's a sixth drummer.
So there's another drummer. And
that was just a jam though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but also there was one point around about that time as well where I think Matt came back and played keyboards too. So there were six of us at one point. Which is just unwieldy.
In a pop punk band.
Exactly. It's
without brass.
Yeah. But I think that was the thing. Like, once we came back together in like 2008 or whatever it was, we were just like, right, we need to pare this down and it just be the three of us. And for a while it was just the three of us, but then Stuart came back into the fold.
Yeah.
For a short bit. Time.
And then he, you know, failed to commit, I guess.
Yeah,
it was female problems again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is,
but, so this is it. But at the time, he was like, well, I've got this responsibility and this responsibility and that. And I was like, I've got a child. but I think, you know, again, that was the sort of like probably the ignorance of youth. I know we were sort of early to mid-20s at the time, but I think that's probably the ignorance of youth going, well, I've got a kid, so my responsibility is way more important than yours. Mm. And it's probably unfair on him, but I think we did find that the more people were in the band, the more difficult it was to wrangle us all to practice. Yeah. And I think, like Corky was saying as well, we learned a lot is we didn't, and I think at the time we were taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
We were trying to make something of it. So if anyone sort of cancelled for any reason, we were like, well, they don't give a shit. And I think, yeah, we were probably taking ourselves way too seriously.
It was quite
and not making allowances for life.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
you're absolutely right. I mean, it's unfair in some ways, but also I think the three piece is the most simple and easily controllable configuration that there is, really.
For sure.
You know, and yeah, we played some interesting gigs around that time as well. Like there was that one gig up in Lewisham where we played to one person.
He loved it.
Because it was just after the smoking ban, wasn't it? So the people stopped smoking and then everyone went outside.
Yeah.
And the one non-smoker stood right in front of the microphone stand as well.
Yes, we had him, but the sound guy was there. But I think the sound guy kept popping out for cigarettes.
Mm. He was the most enthusiastic about the lot. Yeah,
he loved it. I mean, it was the thing is, it's like, yes, there was one person and the sound guy, but it went really well. Like, I enjoyed that gig and it was a great experience. Like, I think the weirdest one for me was, wasn't the Wooden Bridge, was it? Was it the Wooden Bridge?
Wooden Bridge, yeah.
Guildford. Where we were on at the same time as the football.
But it was weird because it was like the bar, you walk in and then the bar sort of like, it was huge, wasn't it? But it went round the sides.
Yeah.
I don't know the best way to say it. It was like horseshoe shape. Hexagon, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was horseshoe, I guess. And we were off on one side and the football was off on another side. And it was just, we were sort of trying to play, but no one was really there for the music.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
I've driven past it a few times now. Like last year sometime I drove past and I looked and I was like, I know that place. I'm sure we've played there. So we're going along, I think it was like going into London on the main road and it's sort of off, over a fence. Like, so yeah. I know that place.
Well, it was the first gig that we drove to as well and had to take all our equipment, wasn't it? And so we rented a van because I was the only one of us who could drive at the time, wasn't I? So I had to drive a Transit all the way.
But you'd never driven a Ford, so we didn't know where the light controls were.
That's right.
So we drove home most of the way on the M25 with just side lights.
Yeah. That happened to me again.
Where the headlights were.
Yeah, that happened to me again around about the same time when I rented a Fiesta or something to go down and visit my friends in Hereford.
Mm.
And I picked someone up from High Wycombe on the way through. And again, I forgot where the light switches were. And I was like, I can't fucking remember where any of the stuff is on this car. Because it was a little dial.
They're not on the stalks, are they? Yeah.
So like, I was trying to beat the sun to get to Hereford before the before the sunset on New Year's
Eve. Racing the sun.
It was ridiculous. But, you know, it was an interesting time.
Yeah, that was an odd one.
Overall, I would say that, you know, like we generally had quite enthusiastic-ish crowds in a way, but there were some odd ones that were just like those, which were like, you know.
I mean, a couple of our really good ones, we played a couple in London that were really good. I mean, we played the Purple Turtle, but yeah, that was the Emergenza Festival where we paid.
That's right. Pay to play.
150 quid? It was. But it was like a proper, it was a big battle of the bands where you pay an entry fee and then you get to play a fest. If you win, you play a festival. Yeah. And we got through the first round, didn't we?
Yeah. And then we got put up in against a load of metal bands.
And Teddy Bear's Picnic.
Yeah. Teddy Bear's Picnic.
That's the one that sticks with me. It was weird. But that was one of those ones where you pay to enter and then they give you a book of tickets that you've got to sell to your friends.
Good fucking luck.
You then have to buy the ticket for this and then travel up, and it's based on audience vote.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you can convince your friends to come.
Mm.
And I mean, that's where the song Apathyville comes from, is that, you know, nobody's there to see you because your friends aren't going to travel that far to see you. In the battle of the bands, if they're audience vote, you're not likely to do very well because, you know, it's, if you're a London band and you're playing battle of bands in London, you're going to do better than a Kent band or something.
Or there were some bands. I mean, there was one band in High Wycombe that were really good at mobilizing people to come along to their gigs. And I never understood how the hell they did it.
Sexual favors.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. But they used to lay on buses and stuff.
Yeah.
Really? They'd organize like buses and you'd pay 20 quid for the ticket. But that included your bus fare there and back. And you got like a goodie bag and stuff.
Do you remember when... This is possibly off topic. When we went to the Forum, Corky, when I broke up with my ex and we went to the Forum because there was somebody I was talking to online on one of the AFI forums, and she said she was coming down to Tunbridge Wells.
Yes.
So we went to this gig. I can't remember, but they did that thing as well. They did that thing as well where they provided transport. And they were from Hertfordshire, I think, and they provided transport down for their fans or whatever. It's probably a similar thing, but yeah. So we went to meet her, and I went to meet her, see this band. I think there was another band playing at the same time. I think it was One Day Elliot, and then this band was supporting.
The band were really good, but I can't remember what. Trying to think about what they were called because they were really, really good.
It was a similar thing. So we went to, it was a gig anyway, Tunbridge Wells Forum. Great venue anyway. I really like it as a venue, but and they were playing and we went to meet them, but in the similar vein, they do that thing where they put on the transport, and we did consider doing it once as well, I think, didn't we? But it's just so fucking expensive.
Yeah,
and you need to sort of, I guess they need to know someone who sort of works at this coach company or something. Like they need to, you need to know what.
The band that I knew, they actually had a person managing stuff for them. So I think there was that whole thing going on. You know, they actually had like a semi-professional setup in that regard.
Because weren't we, when we were going to do it, because we were like, oh, we need someone who knows how to drive a coach or a bus. And it was your dad, wasn't it, Corky?
Yeah.
That's right.
He won't do it now.
He wouldn't do it now, but...
Oh
gosh!
Sorry, that's why I call him that all the time.
We played a few times up in London, and it was all looking quite rosy. And then we recorded an album of songs that we'd been playing for years, and then we're like, "Fucking hell, we've got to play these again for at least another year."
I think, and that's something we've agreed on this time, that's the problem. I think the reason it didn't work, so like they say, we recorded all of those, and I think that's something we've agreed on this time. It's another thing we've learned, is we would write songs, and we go, hey, this is a song, and it's got a structure, it's got a start, middle, and an end. You know, like it's a full song, so to speak, and we'd be playing it for months. And then we'd finally get around to recording it. Then we keep playing it, but then we sort of change it slightly so it wouldn't ever be this version that was recorded anymore. and we sort of got sick of those songs. So as soon as we release it, we sort of like, right, let's write new songs. And we'd stop playing those ones that we just released and start playing new ones. And bar a few that just sort of became staples in the set because we just love playing them. See what I'm doing there? But and I think that's sort of, that was almost not a death knell as such, but it was one of those things where I think we sort of started losing sort of heart for it. And, you know, I had Chloe, she was young. And then I think, when I started working at the factory, so I was doing shift work and I was working some weekends and evenings, and it sort of become difficult to juggle it. And I've just remembered it was me that basically said, look, I can't do this anymore. I need to sort of, it's too difficult. And I didn't want to sort of keep canceling like we used to berate people for. So I think, yeah, that was when I sort of like went, I can't do this anymore. And that's sort of where we sort of laid it down for a good number of years.
Yeah, well, it was like 2012 or something, wasn't it? Or 2011.
After we finally recorded an album properly.
Yeah.
In a studio and got it mixed properly and released online. And...
Yeah. That was the problem though, wasn't it? Like it was, it took us quite a long time to save up because we were all doing kind of not exactly well-paid or full-time jobs or any jobs. And so it took us a long time to save the money up because we didn't know how to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's the difference this time. And we got back together, 2020, kind of to kind of knock the cobwebs off and talk about becoming a covers band.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to enter us into a few gigs to play some originals just to, again, kind of blow the cobwebs off of our performance side of things so that we could get ready for actually putting on a show in front of people.
And we'd all agreed that we weren't going to write any more original songs.
Yeah.
Because we're a covers band now.
Yeah.
We just wanted to get used to playing live again.
Exactly. That was the point. And then we went down really well. Like the audiences were really much more
open, I guess.
Yeah.
Open
and enthusiastic about it than I remembered them being in the past.
Yeah, for sure.
And we were like, oh, okay.
Who was the first one that went, so I've written this thing. Was it you, Tom?
Well, I had the song Treachery, didn't I? Kind of in my back pocket that I'd been working on for years. And I was like, well, I've got this. What do you think?
And we went, oh,
that's pretty
good. That's different. Wow, this is a proper song. Mm.
Because I'd been working on it for a while. Like 10 years.
But there is that. But then there's the experience as well now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much you talk about it on here, but like your experience of what you do now, like how many bands you're in.
In the meantime, like, I mean, I'd been in a hardcore punk band.
Speaking of Treachery.
Yeah, exactly. I'd done lead vocals for Snide and then jacked all that in, tried to get a career going. And then after a while was like, right, I've got to pick up the bass again. I hadn't picked it up in like, I don't know, years. I hadn't even bothered picking it up. Like it was just sitting around. And I then joined a covers band in much the same way. Corky, you also were in a covers band as well for a while.
It was in a function band as well.
Yes, with the father-in-law.
Mm. Playing bass rather than drums as well. You reverted to type. Yeah.
Oh, yes. But that was, I got a bit bored of that because it was the same old stuff and it was just getting really irritating. It was Beatles songs.
Yeah, which you're not the biggest Beatles fan in the world anyway.
No.
Or even if you are, like if that's all you're playing, I can understand.
Sure. Whereas I didn't do any of that.
No.
I didn't do anything. I just didn't touch my guitar at all, really. I picked up keyboard a little bit and tried to sort of teach myself a bit of piano, but yes. So I didn't do any of that, but obviously you two sort of kept your musical brains active, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I just think like having that time out and doing other things, it opens you up to different styles of music, different ways of playing. And so the new stuff that we've been working on at the moment is, you know, much more like proper songs than the old stuff.
It's much more mature and grown up. There isn't that urgency behind it either as well. Like we've said, we're just, I don't want to say we're not taking it seriously, because we are, in a sense, we're taking it seriously, but we're not hoping something becomes of it. We're just creating now.
Yeah, yeah. That's we're not doing this to kind of be a massive name. We're not trying to get onto any festivals at well, actually.
Well, there are some.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's irons in the fire. But yeah, it's not like the focus isn't this. But when we're doing it, we want to be focused about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in the meantime, Ant and I had the podcast for nearly a decade. So, like, he and I got used to doing things on DAWs.
Yeah.
You know, we've got mixing desks and microphones and all this kind of stuff. We've got the technical know-how there of kind of doing vocal editing. And so, yeah, that brings us to where we are now, which is releasing an EP today.
Hey.
This isn't live.
Oh, I know it's not live. I know that.
He's releasing this on the day it goes out.
And so,
so much stuff being released on the day it goes out. I tell you, we've got that music video that's coming out on the day.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we're fucking, yeah.
This is it.
By the way, we're here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like the third rebirth, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah, so the EP is called Some Songs You May Have Heard, But Not Like This.
Yes.
So, yeah, we decided that in the meantime, while we're writing and recording an album, which will be coming out later in the year, fingers crossed.
Yes.
We would re-record three of our older songs that were on other releases, but hadn't been updated, hadn't been given a proper... Because, like, the Welcome to Apathyville album was done properly, and there's 8 songs on there, 7 new ones and a live one.
Yeah.
But we had those 2 EPs from beforehand. So we've kind of, and a home recorded album as well, which was kind of recorded live in a studio, the Take Shortcuts one. So there were a bunch of songs that never got a proper airing, but we still play because they're still good.
Yeah. So it's 3 songs that we still play. We've recorded all 3 of them, but one of them never actually went on an album.
That's right.
Or a release.
Mm.
But I think the 3 tracks you've got, we'll probably go in order, shall we? So you've got Prayer for the Punks,
which is the newest song, isn't it? Prayer for the Punks.
I don't like disco, I don't like rap, emo sucks, it ain't all that. So I bought a guitar, started to play the music that I love, and this is what I say. Say a prayer for the punks, call it out all across the nation, and I give a fuck about your garage nation. I can't get high to a DJ mix, I wanna rock out to Teenage Kicks, cause I'm a punk, so fuck you.
Yeah, Prayer for the Punks. Now, the difference with that one is... So, and like we were saying earlier, where we would write a song, we'd start playing it live, we would record it, and then we would change it.
Yeah.
The version of Prayer for the Punks that we recorded doesn't have the solo in it at all.
That's right. It's on Take Shortcuts, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that is the song. It has a solo. That's how we've always played it and stuff like that. But when we recorded it, it didn't have a solo. So we didn't include it. As because we were recording it live and to do the solo, technically, like if you'd need 2 guitars.
Yeah.
When we play it live, we don't need 2 because it's the energy of it. But so we didn't put the solo on the recording of it. So I guess this is sort of like we've re-recorded these songs how they're supposed to be heard.
Yeah.
And we wanted them to sound originally. And a lot of it, and this is what I was saying earlier as well, whereas the recording and the mixing and how to do stuff, this is where I learned a lot from Matt.
Mm.
I brought it into this and I sort of taught you guys, like, okay, now try this. And we sort of, like Tom said, when we said about doing this, is we know we want to record an album of new songs, but we sort of wanted to know how to record.
Yeah.
We sort of thought we'd do this as a means to teach ourselves. It's only 3 songs. We can take a longer time on them. But now we've sort of figured out the workflow and how we're going to make it work for when we do record the album.
Yeah.
But these, I'm so happy and so proud of what we've done with these. They sound absolutely fantastic.
They're easily the best sounding. I mean, no offense to Graham. He's an excellent sound guy.
He was technician. Working with what he had at the time, and, which was us.
Yeah, like he was working with very unrefined materials.
For sure.
The fact is that even though we probably could afford to rent a studio out and all that now.
Yeah.
Like the interesting part has been doing it all ourselves and learning how to use the software, learning tricks and tips on how to make things sound really good and professional. Yeah.
That's mostly thanks to Ant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And delving deeper into it.
Definitely. Yeah, no, a lot of that, but it does help. Like when we were sitting here doing the final mixes and Corky was like, this needs something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is where like your musicality comes in. You're like, this needs something else. I'm like, okay, cool. And we do it. And I think that the advantage of this as well, and probably the disadvantage where we, like we're saying, Graham only works with what he had, because I think it comes down to money. Like you were saying, like we had time constraints. We had one day in that studio to sort of do 8 tracks.
Yeah.
Like, well, 7 tracks and a live one, which came from somewhere else. But yeah, we had like one day to try and get down 7 tracks. So like I say, when Graham did what he could with what he had, like it was, do you know what I mean? Like
we were still like, on the that'll
pumped
do
it all well, out.
Wasn't it? It was like, yeah, right, yeah. That'll do. Like we've got a tape.
Fix it in post.
Exactly.
At the start of the day, Graham was like, we don't fix things in post. We do it right first time. By the end of the day, he was like, yeah, we'll fix that in post. But yeah, we had 7, like a day to do 7 tracks. Like there was very limited material, whereas this time we don't have the time constraints. Like,
yeah,
we record our bit. I recorded for a majority of it. We were working with what I'd recorded for as a rough take for guitar. I'm like, oh, okay, that actually sounds really good. We'll just keep that.
Mm.
But the whole time I had it in the back of my head, like, I don't like this. And I kept saying to you guys, if I have time, I'm going to re-record the guitars for all of them.
Mm.
And I did. So for like 90% of the mixing process, we were working with like my first takes for the guitar. And I was like, no, fuck it. I'm going to re-record it all.
But
and
even
I did.
Quite late in the day, you found a different way to...
Yeah,
make the guitar sound, and it was just like, well, that sounds like entirely
it
better.
Just completely flipped it and changed it massively. Yeah, but even though I did that and you were like, I don't like the way that sounds, there's something wrong with it. So I went back in and I was like, oh yeah, that doesn't sound great. And then I changed it slightly and went, how about this? And be like, yeah, that's it. But and that's the point, because we're doing it at home now and we've learned this, we have the ability to do that. And not just stick with what we had. And yeah, everything sounds as though it should. I think the oldest track of the three, like we've got the newest one is Prayer for the Punks. The oldest one is the other one we wrote, Leaving Home. That was... I Like Coffee. So that was on the second EP.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, been that in the set since... Old. That song's been in the set since 2004.
Yeah, and this is a song that when I wrote that original guitar riff in my head, it sounded a certain way, and it's never sounded like I wanted it to. Now it does, and that song's evolved so much.
Yeah, the best thing about it for me is that we've got complete control over it. If one of us isn't happy, we fiddle about with it until we're all happy with it.
Yeah,
and so that it sounds like you say the way that it's supposed to, or the way that you hear it in your head. Like that's what I've really enjoyed is like these things actually sound like how I want them to sound.
Now that I've left my home, it's fun to be.
And as Cookie was saying, like we've learned stuff we've changed, we've grown up, and the fact that we can now turn around, like you said to me, no, I think I prefer the guitar how it was. And I was like, okay, I get that, let me try something.
Yeah.
And the fact that you feel comfortable saying that, and we can say it, like Corky was like, I want to do the drums like this, and then I went, can you just try this first, please? Like, because I knew about VST instruments, I was like, can you just try this and see this? And you tried it and you went, oh yeah, no, that works. Because like in the past, I would have gone, okay, yeah, no, you know, Corky sort of like was the creative behind a lot of the original songs and stuff like that. So I wouldn't question, I wouldn't want to question Corky like in the past, but now I'm like, no, listen, just try this, please, mate. And you're like, okay, yeah, cool, got you. Yeah, that works. Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, I would be stubborn and say, no, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And you're open to that sort of trying something different, and like we all are. So, and that's what's come from a lot of it. Like we say, we've grown a lot, and we're just all so much happier with what we're doing now. It's just
definitely, yeah.
And it shows. It definitely shows, especially live.
I mean, we're still wanting to do the covers thing as well, but so happens that we've found a little niche that, actually, you know, the original stuff is still very fulfilling, and getting out there and playing original stuff is.
But some of the covers are extremely, aren't they? I mean, when you're playing that song, that, you know, not everyone likes the same one. And someone comes in and comes up with a cracking idea for a cover, and then we just play it.
Yeah,
and it might be something that you don't like, but all of a sudden, because of the way you're playing it, it might be something absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and that was something that I learned through being in a covers band. Like, I'm not the world's biggest AC/DC fan, but playing the songs is fun.
Yeah.
And, like, seeing how people react to the songs that you're playing is fun. Like, there's just, like, you've got to... Yeah, one of the things that I've learned in the meantime is to kind of put my preconceived notions aside, take myself out of it, and be like, what's best for the unit.
And yeah, that's the thing with the covers, isn't it? It's like, not everyone likes the same songs. No. So you have to go, do you know what? I don't like it, but we'll give it a go. And then you see how the crowd responds, and you go, okay, fine, yeah, we'll keep playing it. I don't like it, but fine, we'll do it.
Because the other thing is as well, like, we've got similar music tastes, but we've all got we're all quite different in a way. Yeah. Like,
Yeah. We've got certain things... I mean, we've got like a shared, not a shared playlist as such. We've got a dynamic playlist on Spotify.
Yeah.
That's made up of the library that we list, our own libraries.
Yeah.
Of songs that we listen to. There's some weird stuff in there.
There's some odd stuff that gets thrown up in that playlist. Yeah.
That's our own private playlist. But yeah, there's some weird bits in there that doesn't fit with everything else.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I've listening to that playlist, I've found songs that I'm like, oh, I really like this. What's this? And it's something that one of you two has sort of listened to, so it's in there.
Yeah.
And the covers we do play, we'll play them in our own style. And some of the covers that we've learned for the cover set, we now have incorporated into... Like, we played a gig the other day. We had a half-hour set ready to go, and they went, yeah, it's 45 minutes. And we're like, oh, let's chuck this and this in there as well then. Because they fit, and they went down really well.
Exactly. That's it, isn't it? And it's about being versatile. Like, that versatility is really, really positive, I think, as well.
So we've said about, I'm sorry, I'm taking the host seat. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
So we've obviously said about Prayer for the Punks and Leaving Home being on the EP.
The third song is a song by a band that I knew from High Wycombe called Kid Kamikaze. One of my mates, Nick Welsh, was in that band. They were great. They were so good. I've still got their CD kicking around somewhere. But yeah, it's called A Shot of I Don't Care, and it's a drinking song.
And
and it's brilliant. And you know, we're lucky, I guess, that he's allowed us to continue to play it all these years. Because I think I did, like, when we got back together, not this time round, when we got back together after
you were at uni.
Yeah, yeah. We started playing it then. And then I think we put a video of it up on YouTube years ago. And he messaged me after he saw it and was like, "Oh, you're still kicking my old shit around, are you?"
Yeah.
We can't, you know, I was like, "Look, you said we can play it. If you don't want us to play it, that's cool." He's like, "Nah, it's cool. Like, it's really weird to hear my own music being done by other people." But yeah, he likes it. And we're trying to get him on as a kind of featured vocalist, but it's not quite working out just yet. But yeah. maybe in future. One more beer and a shot of I don't care, and then
I woke up to forget this night. Yeah! Because I think that's the thing as well, is when we were doing this EP, you did say to him, "Do you mind if we put a shot of I don't care on there?" And he's like, no, go for it.
He came back from Canada and I went and played him our version of it as it was at the time, and he was like, "That sounds cool, like, go ahead."
Yeah, just do it. So obviously they're not a band that's kicking about anymore, but you spoke to the guy who wrote the song and he was like, "Yeah, go for it." So we're like, fuck it. And it's a song that we love, and it's a song that we will pull out at every opportunity, because it's a great song. It's fun, it gets people into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's our 1985, isn't it? I don't care, and then I woke up to forget this night. Woke up to forget this night. Woke up to forget this night. You know.
Well, it's like...
we've made it our own.
9 out of 10 people at any gig are drinking.
Yeah.
And so you can do the whole, this one's for those who are drinking, and get them involved in that kind of thing. And,
yeah.
But... So yeah, the EP is out today. It's on all the major streaming services.
Yes.
The video is out as well.
Video is out as well. Yes, indeed. Video to Leaving Home, which is on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/highfrequencyrocks. And you can go and watch the video for Leaving Home, which again, we've done all ourselves under the direction of Corky, because Corky went to university to study film and knows a bit about making short films and stuff. So not the first video of ours that he's directed either. There's one out there for Apathyville, right?
There is. I'd like to point out that the video for Leaving Home is not going to be as good as the next video.
There's plans. There's plans afoot for the next video, which is really interesting.
He's mentioned costume, and I'm still not comfortable with that.
No, because this video was done as kind of like, let's try and get a video with the least amount of budget, the least amount that we could do with it, and that's why it's, you know, it is the way it is.
Yeah,
we totally didn't pay for a rehearsal space and then you turn it into a video space for a little while.
We paid for the room, do what you like with it, within reason, I suppose.
So that's out there as well. We're looking, there's a lot of things, like we've got like the Instagram account, we've got like a TikTok account. We're looking at ways we can actually utilize those as well.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like snippets of covers and things like that, possibly.
We're going to become much more active on social media, I feel.
For sure.
Because that's what you got to do these days, down with the kids and all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's helped us a lot as well. Because I mean, the last gig we played, which was a bizarre evening, but we found two other pop punk bands, which they're not, you know, we're not easy to find these days. There's not a lot of us about, but we managed to find two, and they're great lads who seem to put on some events. So we're hoping to meet a lot more pop punk sort of groups out there and put on events with them. So
yeah. So hopefully a few more gigs in the diary for the next few months. But also, one of the main things is working on the new songs and getting the album done, which will be really cool.
That's not true. One of the main things is my birthday.
Well,
which I know there's a party coming. All right. And you all.
I've not been invited.
I don't know anything about what you're saying.
I've not been invited, mate.
I can read your face like a book.
No. Anyway, I wouldn't do that sort of thing to you, because I know how awful it is when people throw you a surprise party and ask you to play. It's awful.
No, that's one of my, that was one of my conditions.
It's my party and I'll play if I want to.
Yeah, I like it.
So it's all really positive and I'm really, really liking the way that the new songs sound. I love the way that we've been able to work together. I'm liking the much more relaxed nature of everything. And I'm really, really pleased.
And the more honesty as well. The honesty was one of the things when we came together again, was we had to be honest with each other. Mm-hmm. So someone turned around and said, I'm not feeling it today. You go, okay, no worries. We won't hold it against you. And then we just wait until that person's ready and then we move back on again.
Exactly. Yeah.
For sure.
No pressure.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's a much more positive way to do things, I think. So, that's that. Go and listen to the EP. Go find it on Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer,
Amazon,
YouTube Music.
There's so many different ones. Go, you know, I think it submits it to TikTok as well. So, you know, go find our sounds on there and make a TikTok video with them or an Instagram reel or anything, you know.
Yeah. Add them to your playlists.
That's it. Yeah, add them to your playlist.
That's
as well.
That's the main thing. If anyone out there has got Spotify, especially, please add the songs to a playlist, especially obviously public ones.
Yeah,
because that is something that massively helps on Spotify. I mean, we've already made £1.40 from streaming. Money.
That wasn't even really good.
Yeah, as well as this new EP, like our old album, we've talked about it. Welcome to Apathyville is actually on Spotify as well. So you can go and listen to that. I think, adding, like Tom's saying, adding to playlists and stuff helps other people discover us as well. You know, and it is, like we say, we're not taking it massively seriously. We don't want to make this a big thing, but we want people to hear our song. Like we write them for ourselves, but we write them for other people to hear as well.
Because we kind of think they're good. You know, if you like bands like Green Day or Blink-182 or I don't know, name some Bowling for Soup.
It's not just pop punk,
but
is
it's
it?
Not. Well, there's no, a bit exactly, of like because like we've got this weird thing where it's like, I mean, even on the gig that we played the other week, we were billed as like a mixture of like US pop punk and classic British punk. Yeah, because there is a little bit of that in there, but it's like. Yeah, we're not just doing one thing, and especially with the new material as well. The new material is kind of it's opening out into other areas, which is quite nice.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of our sound comes from. Is with our diversities, we're into the same music. We're like my songs when I write them are more on the pop punk side. Yours are more on the oi punk side because you're more into that. I'd say more into the old school sort of like classic punk. And then Corky's more into like the ska side of things, I want to say. The ska and the pop punk. So like
the rock, punk rock.
Yeah, punk rock, right. Yeah. So we sort of
but also I like a story.
Yes.
That comes from my love of folk punk music. As well. Yeah, folk music is another thing that I love. And also hip hop too. Hip hop tells stories.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Hence the reason for the costumes.
Exactly. Oh, I can't wait to hear about this. Maybe we'll talk about it after we finish recording.
I'm Jack Sparrow.
Go out there, share the music, add it to playlists, please. I don't ask for much except for, you know, 5-star reviews and ratings. But yeah, go and find High Frequency wherever you listen to music. Go and stream our stuff. And let me know and let us know what you think of it, I guess. You can find High Frequency on Facebook. I think it's just at High Frequency UK, isn't it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You can find us on, well, there is a Twitter account, but we've been locked out of it.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, arseholes.
Elon Musk, mate.
Because
we didn't parody at the end of a night.
The Instagram is high_frequency_rocks, because, you know, High Frequency actually turns out quite a common name for things.
As we found out.
Especially in the interim since we've been away. There's loads of them now. And youtube.com/highfrequencyrocks. And TikTok is...
It'll be the same.
At High Frequency Rocks. Yeah, go and find us that way. We're all out there. So yeah,
well, active on TikTok, so best place to find us, mate.
I can't wait till we get active on there. All those millions of streams.
Yeah.
Indeed. So yeah, go and find us. Go and find our stuff. Let us know what you think. book us for gigs.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. Enjoy, most of all, enjoy.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for talking about the history and everything. It's been really fun kind of rehashing some of the old stories and figuring out exactly where everything fit in the timeline. I'm off up into the loft to find the scrapbook so that we can start adding to it again.
Hey man, I've got my recording gear set up.
I've got to try and find that video. Find that video for you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you can find any old stuff, I'm going to try and grab, I don't know if it's something, I'm going to try and grab some bits from the old YouTube account, you know, like the Welcome to Apathyville video, and we'll try and get a few of the older videos. We'll try and get back on our YouTube channel as well.
Sounds good to me.
So there might be more up there once you go over there, if you go and check it out.
But yeah, other than that, what else should people, that's the shout out, isn't it? It's weird. I'm being the host and the guest, so I'm shouting out the things that I want people to go, but usually I throw it back to the guest.
You normally end.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you want to shout out? Yeah.
Yeah. And I've already done that. So one final parting thing. What are you listening to at the moment? Like, what are the things on rotation for you guys at the moment for people to go and check out?
With ADHD, there's a thing that I've discovered is when you get into a certain music style, or if you hear a certain song, that will be on repeat for fucking ages. Now, you may remember, Tom, from the podcasting days, that Billie Eilish had heavy rotation for me. Sigrid still does, to be fair. Mm-hmm. You may know from our share playlist that Doja Cat comes up quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think she's great gym music, Doja Cat. For me, at the minute, there's somebody I saw quite a lot on TikTok, because I am active on TikTok as a consumer, but I'd never really listened to them until the other day. A band called Spirit Box. Really fucking incredible. You may have realized from Billie Eilish, Sigrid, Doja Cat, heavily into female vocal. I like a female vocalist. Spirit Box, female metal vocalist, in the same vein as Ginger, where they're sort of like really nice singing voice but absolute beast when it comes to like screaming. Spirit Box, fantastic.
Okay.
Fantastic band, Canadian metal, so good.
Corky, what are you listening to?
Holophonics is probably one of the ones I'm listening to most at the moment.
Okay, what's that?
Yeah, Scar. They apparently do some originals, but it's their covers that are the best thing. It's a heck of a lot of albums out there for Holophonics, some really good stuff. And obviously looking forward to the new Punk Rock Factory album, which comes out in March.
Another new Punk Rock Factory album.
Fell out of love with Punk Rock Factory, man.
I love it. Yeah.
I like what they do, but it's musical, just too
musical.
Much.
I think the only album I didn't like was they tried to cover...
You're speaking my language? Musicals?
They're doing musicals this one.
Okay,
back in. If you check it out, obviously you can see the listing. There's definitely one song on there that you're going to love, Anthony. But the only album I didn't like of theirs was the one where they do the rock songs, which were already rock anyway. You know,
Another band, if you want to go more on the sort of punky route, Tiny Moving Parts. More like a technical, sort of like technical, but in the punk, pop punk genre, sort of, but technical. Really good, Tiny Moving Parts.
Okay.
Again, saw a video of theirs on TikTok. Somebody had filmed them and I went, they look like fun, and check them out. They're really good. If you want to go more on the punk side rather than metal side, Tiny Moving Parts.
And I suppose for me, it's the Meffs are a great two-piece from the Midlands, I think, or from just north of London. They're great. They've got an album out at the moment called Broken Britain Part 1. And Grade 2 as well, Isle of Wight punk band that sound like British Rancid. And they're supporting Rancid on the upcoming tour, which I'm going to see. They've got a couple of songs out at the moment from their upcoming album.
Before you say that, yeah. No one's pulled out of that yet, have they?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
please,
I know.
Please give us more.
Corky's like, fuck, if I've got money or time, I want that one.
Yeah, I've only got one ticket for that. I've not bought any extra tickets. Right. So if you want to come, you've got to buy your own ticket.
He knows not to rely on us to pick up spare tickets.
I've already got my session sorted for this year. which is the Slam Dunk Festival.
Yeah, Slam Dunk, that'd be great. That's apart from the fact that
most of the bands I want to see were on exactly the same time.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Which is a bit shitty, really. But
But no, there you go. That's the year coming up. Thank you so much for coming on, guys. It's been a real blast going over it.
Thank you too, mate. Thank you for thank you for having us.
You're welcome. What a chat, right? Ant and Corky are some of my oldest friends, and since being back together this time round, we've become closer than ever, which I hope came across in that chat. Playing in other bands over the years has made me appreciate the musicality of Corky and the technical mind of Ant. People say you should surround yourself with people who are better than you if you want to get better and succeed, and I feel like we're all lifting each other up right now. I love these guys. One thing we did forget to mention is that the artwork for some songs you may have heard but not like this contains multiple callbacks and references to pretty much every CD we ever released, as well as a reference to each of us as individuals. So it's a bit like a puzzle for people who've known us for years to spot all the visual references. If you get any of them, send us a message. I'd love it if you could go over to Spotify or wherever you listen to your music and add our music to your public playlists and share it on social media. Again, you can find all the links in the show notes to our social medias and platforms where the music's available. If you know of any venues looking for punk bands to add to lineups, send me a message. We'd love to come and play as many shows as possible this year. But until next time, take very good care of yourselves. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to this episode of Band Biographies. If you enjoyed it, please don't forget to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or whatever service you use to listen to your podcasts. Please do reach out on Twitter at BandBiogs, Instagram at BandBiographies, search on Facebook for Band Biographies, or by emailing bandbiographies@gmail.com. See you next time.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.